Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, the 12th chapter. We want to read together today Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now, in our text today, Paul continues to tell us how we are to implement and express the saving grace that God has given to us. In particular, Paul is telling us how we are to treat our fellow believers and how we are to view them. He says that we are to be kindly affectioned towards one another in brotherly love. That is, there is to be a tenderness and compassion towards each other, like a parent has for their child. There is to be love like that which exists between brothers in a family. A love of loyalty, a love of intimacy, and a love of generosity. Love is the greatest virtue of the Christian life. And love ought to be the dominant characteristic of all our relationships with other believers. Furthermore, Paul tells us that we are to prefer that honor be given to others rather than to ourselves. There is to be, on our part, a selfless seeking to bring honor to others and to elevate them in the eyes of others and to elevate them in our own eyes as well. We are to show them honor by how we speak to them. We're to show them honor by how we speak of them. We're to show them honor by how we treat them. Now, this, of course, preferring one another with reference to honor, this, of course, requires selflessness and humility, which, next to love, is the most important virtue in the Christian life when it comes to relationships. Imagine if everyone were loving, selfless, and humble. Imagine what a wonderful place the Christian church would be. Imagine what a wonderful place every Christian home would be if everyone were kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. If the Christian community would just practice that one passage in their homes and in their churches, there would be a transformation of relationships. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And so it is that these virtues of love, of selflessness, of humility, these virtues are repeatedly set forth in the Scriptures as the ideal that we should strive for and that we should be moving towards. Time and time again, the Bible tells us, be loving, be humble, be selfless. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9, Paul says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. In Hebrews 13 and verse 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, it says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And 2 Peter 1 and verse 7, and add to your godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. And so these are just a few of the passages that stress the need for showing brotherly love and kindness and honor to one another. Now, it is a blessing that we do know something of these virtues, and we certainly have experienced them already to a significant degree in our own assembly. In our own assembly, we do show kindness to one another. We do show brotherly love to one another. We do have affection, and we do give honor to each other. But these gifts and these graces are fragile. They're easily lost, and they need to be constantly striven for and developed and deepened further. And so this is the reason why we have so many exhortations regarding these virtues in the Scriptures, is because the virtues of love and selflessness and humility are fragile and easily lost and need to be constantly shored up and developed and deepened. And so what we want to do together today then is consider once again what these virtues are and how we might cultivate them further and practice them better as we examine the passage before us this morning. And so in the first place then this morning, let us consider together that we are to exercise love towards our brethren. We are to exercise love towards our brethren. Now, in our text in verse 10, Paul says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." Now, Paul here tells us we are to be kindly affectioned towards one another. The word in the original that is translated kindly affectioned occurs only in this passage. It occurs nowhere else in the Scripture. And the word refers to the affection that exists in a family, the kind of affection that a parent has for a child and a child has for a parent, the kind of affection that a brother has for a sister and a sister has for a brother. There is a natural affection that exists between family members. It is, if you will, innate and built in. It is a bond of blood, if you will, that is deep and that is powerful and that is permanent. You love family and you are loyal to family and you are attached to family in a profound way that nothing can ever sever. And this kindred affection that exists between family members in blood is to be extended to family members in the faith. Paul tells these believers, be kindly affectioned toward one another in brotherly love. And what he is saying is this, love the brethren in the faith as though they were brethren in blood. Let me repeat that. Love the brethren in the faith as though they were brethren in blood. Because you know what? They are brethren in blood. They've all been washed in the blood of the Lamb, just like you have. They've all been adopted into the family of God, just like you have. And they are your brothers and your sisters in Christ. The Scriptures tell us that the church is our family. And the people of God are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We read in Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50, while Jesus was talking to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But Jesus answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And so we are to see ourselves as the family of God. And we are to love our brethren in the faith as though they were brethren in blood. Now, just like in families, we may annoy one another, we may irritate one another, we may even argue and fight with one another. But even though we may annoy and irritate and argue and fight with one another, we would never think about rejecting or disowning one another. That's the way it works in families. In a family, we would strive to love and serve and minister to each other and stick with each other because underneath whatever differences we have and whatever annoyances we experience, there is a deep bedrock of affection and attachment that transcends all those other things. Having a family affection, having a brotherly love was something that marked the early church. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. With the result that they stood with each other in persecution and in financial need and in prayer and in their joys, and in their sorrows, and in their ministry. Just read the book of Acts to see brotherly love in action and how that the believers laid down their lives for one another. And so we read words like this in 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 9. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. And you see, the blessing that we inherit is in the proportion and to the degree that we are kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In Psalm 133 and in verse 1, it says, Behold, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And that unity is deepened when brotherly love is manifested. And the question then arises, if we are to be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, what does that look like? And how do we manifest it? Well, I would suggest to you that we show family affection and brotherly love when we exercise tolerance towards one another. When we exercise forbearance and patience and long-suffering towards the immaturities and the irritation of our fellow family members, we are showing family affection and brotherly love because that's how families work. Husbands annoy wives, wives annoy husbands, but you exercise forbearance and patience and long-suffering and toleration of the fact that they're not all you would like them to be. It says in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so it is as we are long-suffering. It is as we forbear one another in love that we manifest kindly affection and brotherly love. Secondly, we manifest brotherly love not only when we exercise tolerance, but when we refuse to think evil of others. When we refuse to think evil of others. When we show family affection and brotherly love, it means that we repudiate things like anger and envy and evil surmising and suspicion and mistrust in our hearts towards our fellow believers. In James 4 and in verse 11, it says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law." And so in families, we exercise tolerance. In families, we exercise trust. We don't think evil of one another. Thirdly, we show family affection and brotherly love when we have an attitude of thankfulness for each other. When we have an attitude of thankfulness for each other. When we have an appreciation for who they are, for what they do, and we're grateful to God for their presence in our lives, we are showing brotherly love. In Philippians 1 and verse 3, Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." And as you remember the believers that are in this assembly, do you thank God as their names come across your mind? Thank you, Lord, for this one. Thank you, Lord, for that one. We exercise tolerance towards them. We exhibit trust in them by not thinking evil about them. Fourthly, we show family affection and brotherly love when we seek out fellowship with our brethren. When we seek out fellowship with our brethren, we show family affection and brotherly love when we strive to spend time together and extend hospitality to one another and seek to openly communicate with one another. One of the ways in which you show brotherly love and family affection is by opening up communication and opening your life and sharing that life by way of verbal fellowship with your fellow believers. Fifthly, we show family affection and brotherly love when we defend one another in spiritual warfare. When we defend one another in spiritual warfare, we show family affection and brotherly love when we defend one another against false accusations. And when we defend one another against evil slanders of deceptive liars, we show love one to another when we defend each other's reputation in the eyes of the world and those that would wrongly attempt to attack it and tear it down. In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Demetrius has a good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true." Now, why did that just pop out of Paul's mouth? Because just prior to that, in the verse prior to that, he was talking about Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them and who was casting people out of the church and no doubt casting aspersions on them as he did so. And so Paul came to the defense of Demetrius. Pardon me, John came to the defense of Demetrius. And he says, that man has a good report. And he stood with him and he stood for him as Diotrephes attempted to destroy his reputation and cast him out of the church. Sixthly, we show family affection and brotherly love when we serve and edify one another. When we serve and edify one another, we show family affection and brotherly love when we bear one another's burdens, when we minister to one another's needs, when we seek to build up one another in the knowledge of the truth, and when we seek to encourage one another to increase faith and trust in God. And so it says in Romans 14 and verse 19, "Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. And so this kindly affection, this family affection, and this brotherly love is demonstrated when we try to build up and strengthen and deepen and develop one another in our faith and walk with God. And so how should we treat our fellow church members? In short, we should treat them like we treat Christ, because how we are treating them is how we are treating Christ. Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." So we must never forget, we are a family, and a kind affection and a brotherly love should characterize all of our treatment of each other. There should be a spirit of tolerance. There should be a spirit of trust. There should be a spirit of thankfulness. There should be a seeking out of fellowship. There should be a defending of one another's reputation. There should be a serving and building up of one another in the faith. That's what it means to be kindly affectioned and brotherly love towards one another. And that brings us then to our second major point. Having seen that we are to exercise love towards our brethren, notice in the second place, we are to extend honor to our brethren. We are to extend honor to our brethren. Now, the text not only says that we are to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, it goes on to say that we are in honor to be preferring one another. In particular, the text says, in honor, preferring one another. That is, with respect to the issue of honor, prefer that others receive it rather than yourself. Put others ahead of yourself when it comes to being the objects of honor. You see, it's the nature of the carnal and the worldly and the self-centered that they're constantly trying to gather honor to themselves. But it is the nature of Christians that they're trying to constantly give honor to others. First of all, to the Lord Jesus. And secondly, to their fellow believers. And so what he is saying here is put others ahead of yourself when it comes to being the objects of honor. Prefer that others receive honor before you do, and above that which you receive. Now, Paul set forth this same exact principle in slightly different words in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 when he said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." That's gathering honor to me. "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Well, what does Paul mean by this statement? Well, it's a statement in contrast. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in contrast to that, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. The man who is marked by selfish ambition, the man who is marked by vainglory, is one who is always putting himself first. He is seeking to be ahead of all others in receiving attention and praise. The humble man, on the other hand, puts other people first as those who deserve attention and praise ahead of himself. He recognizes that they are better than he in the sense that they deserve praise and attention before he does. That's not to say that people are better than us in every respect. If you can do a skill or a craft that someone else can't do at all, it's not wrong to say, "I'm better than them at that." It's just acknowledging the truth. It's acknowledging facts. When Paul says esteem others better than yourselves, he's not saying figure that they know how to do everything better than you do. He's not saying that at all. Because it's not true that people can do everything better than you can do. It's also not true that you can do things better than everyone else can do. He's not comparing ability. He's not comparing maturity. He's not comparing giftedness. What he is saying here is that others are better than yourself in the sense that they deserve attention and praise before you do. As our text in Romans 12 and verse 10 says, we are to be in honor, preferring others, rather than in respect to honor, preferring ourselves. And so if everyone were of the disposition that others should be praised rather than themselves, and everyone was given over to point out in others what was worthy of praise, rather than to point out in themselves what was worthy of praise, can you imagine the tremendous goodwill that that would produce? So others are not to be esteemed better than ourselves in the sense that they are to be put ahead of ourselves. Strike that, I misread my note. It says, others are to be esteemed better than ourselves in the sense that they are to be put ahead of ourselves when it comes to being honored or praised or given recognition. And so our attitude is that they better deserve praise than we do. And as a result, we go about seeking the praise of others rather than the praise of ourselves. We strive to put honor on them rather than on ourselves. We look for whatever is commendable in them and we give honest recognition of that. We are to esteem others better worthy of praise than ourselves. We are, with reference to honor, prefer that they receive it. Now, what this looks like in practical terms is that we seize opportunities to speak well of others when such opportunities present themselves. Paul does this often with his companions in labor in the ministry. For example, listen to what Paul says about others who he works with in the ministry. Philippians 2, 19 through 22. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And so when Paul had an opportunity to honor Timothy before the Philippian church, he did it. And he spoke well of his character and of his ministry, of his humility and of his servanthood. And sadly, he had to say, all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus, but Timothy isn't like that. And then with reference to Epaphroditus, Philippians 2 verses 25 to 30, Paul says, yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my needs. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, near unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was near unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. And so Paul not only praises Timothy, but he praises Epaphroditus. He heaps honor upon these two men. listen to what he says about Phoebe in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. And then Paul goes on to heap honor on Priscilla and Aquila. He says, Romans 16, 3 and 4, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And we could go through the scriptures and just multiply examples of the Apostle Paul heaping honor upon others. And so if somebody mentions someone to you, speak an honest word of commendation about them. You know, oftentimes we're chattering away between ourselves and somebody's name will come up. And you know, it's really easy to say something negative about that person. Well, you need to turn that on its head and ask yourself, what can I say positive about that person in the presence of the individual to whom I'm speaking? How can I prefer honor upon him? How can I prefer that he receive honor? And how can I express that? And so if somebody mentions someone, do you speak an honest word of commendation about them? I'm not talking about flinging around flattery and saying stuff about them that isn't true, just to try to make them look good. But all of us have things about us that are commendable. And it is the nature of those who are kindly affectioned to one another in brotherly love. They see that, they appreciate it, they're thankful for it, and they express it to other people. Speak of their virtues. Speak of their character. Speak of their sacrifice and service for the Lord in a positive fashion. Prefer honor upon them and prefer that they be honored. Build others up in the eyes of those to whom you speak. And so if we go around having family affection and brotherly love, and we're always expressing appreciation and honor towards one another, do you suppose that that would be a remarkable environment in which to live and function as a body of believers? Do you suppose it could be said that they loved one another as Christ loved them? And so the point is, when we exercise love towards our brethren, and when we extend honor to our brethren, we cultivate peace and unity with our brethren. And usually the reason why there's a lack of peace and unity is because there's not this family affection, there's not this brotherly love, and there is not this honoring of one another with appreciation and with honest praise. How should the family of God function? They should be kindly affectioned one towards another in brotherly love, and in honor, preferring one another. May God help us to have a vision for those two simple things and carry them out in the way in which we deal with one another. Shall we pray together? Father, we pray that you would help us to say a good word to each other and help us to say a good word about each other. Father, I pray that there would be this extension of love like we have to our own blood family, this natural affection that can't be broken. Father, I pray that you would help us to appreciate and value the virtues and the graces and the service of others and to speak well of it to others and about others. Father, we pray that as we implement these things, that our congregation might grow in love and in loyalty and in affection and in attachment. Father, we pray that this would be manifest to the world as a witness to them. And Father, that it might be a blessing to us. And above all else, Father, that it might be a glory to you in your name. And that your Son's prayer would be answered, that we would all be one as you and your Son are one. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.